Canto 8. Just to go back a bit, I should have said that long before we reached the tower's base, we saw two lights set on its lofty head, to which a third light, from a far-off place, sent back a pinpoint signal. Turning to my attendant sea of wisdom, I asked, "What does this mean?" And that other fire's reply, "What is it, and who tends that flame?" "Let not," he said, "the foul fumes of the marsh deceive your eye, for what's to come no longer there is almost here." When did an arrow leave a bowstring and run whistling through the air more quickly than this little boat skimmed in across the sludge? "Caught you," the oarsman cried. "Guilty as charged. Phlegius, cut the din." "This time it counts for nothing," said my guide. "You get to keep us only while we cross this swamp." As one who knows that some great fraud is practiced on him and resents the loss, so Phlegius in his bottled rage. My lord stepped down into the boat, and then made me step after him. And only after I was on board did the craft appear to be laden. Thus then the ancient prow, less high than usual since its cargo weighed much more than shadows, moved off, cutting all too deep into the muck, from which there rose before our gaze a man-shaped, darkly streaming heap of that same stagnant stuff we rode through. "Who are you that come before your time?" And I to him, "If so, it's not to say, but you, who are you to be such a mess?" "I cry," he said, "as all the damned do." Me again. "Cry all you like, mud crab. Thicken your mask. I still know who you really are." Just then, he reached with both hands for the boat, his task to turn us over, but my wary chief warded him off and said, "Get back down there with the other dogs." And then, to my relief, my master's anger turned to loving care, his arm around me as he kissed my cheek. "Disdainful one," he said, "blessed was the womb that held you. In the world he was the peak of arrogance, and now beyond the tomb, with not one good word to adorn his name, he rages at his own inanity. And there are others up there of the same persuasion, they are kings. They too will be pigs in this filthy sty, and leave behind nothing but curses rained upon the hole their swelled heads filled. And I have a mind, before we leave this festering soup bowl, to see it swallow him." My master said, "Before we reach the other shore, your wish will be fulfilled." And soon, as if they fed a hunger, we saw men like muddy fish surround him, and I thanked God as they cried, "So, Filippo Argenti, not so great!" While even he sank teeth in his own hide, that tortured Florentine. Such was the state we left him in. I have no more to tell, save of the sound of grief that struck my ears as I gazed forward. "Son, you should note well," my master said, "that now the city nears called Diz, home of a thoughtful populace and mighty garrison." I, in my turn, "Master, already I can see its face. The mosques within its ramparts seem to burn as red as iron new drawn from the fire." Then he, "The fire eternal makes them glow so red. Here hell becomes the funeral pyre that burns in circle six and burns below." Between the outworks and the walls that showed their fever of that city sad and vast, the moat was deep, and through it ran the road we followed far around, until at last we came to where the boatman bellowed, "Out! Now we get out of here and go in there!" His cry was nothing to the angry shout of a thousand angels, fallen from elsewhere like rain to make the door a thing of dread. "Who's this?" they yelled. "Who dares to go while still alive in the kingdom of the dead?" By signs my silent guide expressed his will, a wish to speak in secret. They cut back a little of their uproar of bad grace. "Just you then," said the leader of the pack, and let your friend, the unfitting one, retrace the false steps that have boldly brought him here on a mad road. Leave him alone to face his journey home. He might have known more fear had you, his sponsor, not shown him the way. Now let him tremble. Lose him, you draw near. Think, reader, of the depth of my dismay at these forbidding words. They were a curse. Never, I thought, would I be here again. I to my master. Nothing could be worse for me now than to be as I was then without you. You have 7 times and more saved me from danger and rebuilt my heart. If I'm denied the path that lies before, then let's go back together to the start. Fear not, said he who had brought me this far, for nobody can interrupt a course mapped for us from on high. Stay where you are, and with the food of hope restore the force of your weak spirits. Never would I leave you on your own down here. And so he goes, and leaves me half convinced that I deceive myself, that this is not what I suppose. Am I betrayed? What he said to unman those sentinels I couldn't hear. But he was not long there with them before they ran a race to go back in, and instantly they shut the door against him. He began with pensive steps the slow walk back to me, eyes on the ground and brow bereft of all serenity. And as he went, he sighed. Who are they who presume to guard the wall that keeps me from where sufferings reside, its weeping houses? Then to me, be not dismayed that I should grieve. In this contest of wills I shall prevail, no matter what that gang in there come up with. For the rest, there's nothing new in their intransigence. They used it once before to bar a gate less secret, which still stands without defense, its locks and bolts undone by someone great. You saw above its head the mortal text, yet came through to the slope, and since have come down through the circles, first one, then the next, as far as this, and I am the whole sum of your protection. Therefore, why be vexed? To lay this city open, we need no sanction beyond what sent us. Shall we go?